So today we're going to have a quiz, a Christmas quiz. And I have prizes today, a candy cane. So don't be just shouting out all the answers. You're going to have to raise your hand. And I don't want someone winning all the candy canes, so you can only win one candy cane. Now, it's interesting. I don't know how many of you know the history of a candy cane. Anyone look that up or know the history? Germany? She's like, yeah. Does anyone heard this before? Now, there's some subjection to some of the details, but the basic belief is that in 1670 in Germany, the choir master, trying to quiet the noise of the children in his church and during a Christmas Eve service, asked a local candy maker to make sugar sticks for them in order to justify the giving these children the candy. He asked this candy maker then to put a crook in the top of it, is what is said, which would help the children remember of the shepherds who had visited the infant Jesus. In addition, he used the white color we see, right, the candy sticks, to teach children about Jesus and the sinless life of Jesus. Now, I believe most of this probably to be true. Even in Sunday school, I've seen, and maybe some of you've seen, we Sunday school teachers grab candy canes and they use it during this time of year to share Jesus with the kids. And we know that if you turn it upside down, you got Jesus, J for Jesus, right? And we know by his stripes, we see on the candy cane, by his stripes is a representation of the crucifixion and the blood that was shared by Jesus for each one of us. Also, if you were to open this up and smell it, it smells very good, like peppermint. It's a sweet aroma, sweet fragrance. And this also is what Jesus should be in our lives to others around us, a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance. It also, we see that just simply that the candy cane is a reminder of the gift, because often in Christmas season, we give gifts out. And we give candy canes also as gifts at times. And so we see this is a representation also can be of the love of Christ and the gift of salvation. So every time you can give that, you can think of that. So today I want to do a little quiz about Christmas. And I want to give the winners a candy cane. Vicky's going to give some candy canes out. Now, again, you need to raise your hand because I don't want everyone getting all the candy canes. So you ready? All right, let's pull up the first question. What day was Jesus born? Was it indeed on Christmas Day? Who wants to raise their hand? That's two questions? Okay, let's start. That's good because we can get more candy canes. What day was Jesus born? Let's go first. Was it on Christmas Day? We'll start with that one. Raise your hand. Oh, there's one back there. You, right back. Johnson? No. No, give her a candy cane. Oh, you better give two out then. That's okay. So what day was Jesus born? Anyone know? Want to raise your hand? What day was Jesus actually born? I don't see any hands. Right there? We got two over here. Let's go over here. Nope, sorry. No candy cane. Kevin's got a hand up. Or there's one back there. Right there. Kevin, too?
He was born on his birthday.
Ah, two candy canes. The truth, here's the answer. We simply don't know the exact date of the Savior's birth. It's not, many have assumed in different ways, but we do know it definitely. We've chose December 25th to observe that day, but we do not know. Now, here's your next question. What form of transportation did Mary and Joseph use to get to Bethlehem? Who wants to raise their hand? Anyone? There you go. What you got? Okay, I'm going to go. Let's get one more answer. Got to say loud. Nope. Next. Anyone? I did see a hand up here if anyone else wants to try. All right, Jake. Oh, what do you got back there? Okay, so we'll give you that answer. But the simple truth, again, we see portrayed in most artwork. We see in many movies and cartoons. We see the donkey, right? But the truth is, really, we don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. Now, as pregnant as she was, I mean, I think you can take and probably say there was some form of transportation. But the Bible simply does not state. But we assume it because we see it in art, TV, media. But we really don't know. Yeah, you got one over here. You just bless them with candy canes. Good effort. Give them an A for effort. All right. Now we're going to get a little harder. Let's start. We'll break it into two. What is the name? What is the meaning of the name Jesus? Oh, you got lots of hands, Vicky. What do you got? Okay, let's see. Anyone else? God with us, okay. There it is. I'm not saying they're all incorrect, but it is Savior. All right, what about Emmanuel? There you go, Shears got it. Nikki's wanting a candy cane, I can tell. Nikki yelled it out. Give Nikki one. All right. Another Christmas quiz. How many wise men were there? Oh, Brenton got a candy cane. Anyone else? We don't know. There you go. We don't know. What we know is there's three gifts. And so commonly as we know that there's three gifts given, we make the assumption that there was actually three wise men. But there's probably even likely more and quite a crowd that came along. Now the question is, do you know their names? Many people say that we know their names. Do you know the names of the wise men? No, we don't. Anyone else? There you go. Okay. Yeah, she's coming up. Don't forget Brenton up here, Vicky. He gets his candy cane. All right. How old was Jesus when the wise men visited? Up front. Oh, I saw that one. I would say that's accurate. Anyone else? I see this. We have a good idea. 2 to 3 years old. Toddler. We're not exactly sure, but somewhere in that. We got Juliana and we got over here. So it's interesting. We see all our nativity scenes all the time, right? You see the stable, right? The animals, and you see the shepherds. And you always in there sitting these wise men. Well, the truth is that is not really what took place. They actually came later, most would believe, a couple years later to visit him. Because when they saw, they had to travel that. And that was a long ways to travel. All right. Last one here. Okay. What did Joseph say to Mary after Jesus' birth? Good. What did Joseph say to Mary after Jesus' birth? Perfect. Okay. All right, bring it up. At least we can say Jesus was born in a stable home. Got to leave it up there for some of you still to read it. All right. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this fun that we can have, Lord, and also learning a little bit about your word, Lord. So often we hear things, Lord, and we assume that things are what they are. But, Lord, when we read your word, Lord, we see, Lord, that you do give us the truth in so many details, Lord. So, Lord, I just continue to pray, Lord, that each one of us would grow in our knowledge and our understanding of your word. And, Lord, today as we dig into your word, as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Lord, and we ask the question is, what is Christmas? Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, you would just speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you would just use this time and anoint this time. And Lord, anything we may came in with, Lord, we just set that aside right now, Lord. And we just want to sit at your feet, Lord. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, just for this amazing, amazing opportunity that we have. Just to sit here right now and just ask that question. Who are you? What have you done for us? So Lord, please just bless this time. And all God's people said... So today's message, we are celebrating Christmas. So I must ask the question, the name of the title today is, what is Christmas? What are we celebrating? And how do you celebrate Christmas? If we were to define Christmas by looking at the world without previous knowledge of Christmas or how it's celebrated, what would you see? I know this actually happens a lot around here in Asia. What would you see? What would you say Christmas was? Many people in Thailand, we know, we've been around, they celebrate Christmas in some form or another. But they've only have their definition is of what they've seen on media or at the shopping mall or TV. And that's how they're defining what Christmas is very often. If we really want to look it up and define the word Christmas, we have to take and break it up. And we can even look at, you could Google it and look it up, right? What does it mean? How would you define it? If you were to go to online and what is Christmas, it would say here, it says, it's an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus observed on December 25th, a religious and cultural celebration among billions of people around the world. Now you ask, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And you see different cultures, different countries, different families have different customs and ways they would celebrate Christmas. I know I'm familiar with the gift giving is always very popular at Christmas time. Maybe even doing an Advent calendar. We sing Christmas music as we've been doing here. We go caroling like we went the other night. Maybe many of you have a Christmas tree in your house that you've decorated. There's many different customs people do. But around the world, I've seen people celebrate Christmas differently. And I even looked it up. I looked it up a few years ago. Just I was very curious, like, what that looks like. We know there's a lot of people go to a nativity play. We've seen that. They exchange Christmas cards. A lot of people go to church services, especially on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. They display around, again, many different Christmas decorations. Lights. Lots of people put lights up. Lots of lights around their houses and businesses. Garlands, wreaths, mistletoe. I don't think we have any mistletoe hanging in here. But many things, it's a lot of fun. But really, for us to understand what is Christmas, I think we need to go deeper. So let's, again, like I said, let's begin with just simply defining the word Christmas. So we need to break it into two parts, Christ and Mass. So Christ, we say often, right, Jesus Christ. But we know that's actually a title, right? It's the anointed, the title given to the Savior of the world. And it's synonymous with the Hebrew word Messiah. That's who Jesus is. He's the Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ is the only one who saves us from our sin and gives us eternal life. Now, the second part is Mass. And I think a lot of us think back to maybe the Catholic religion when we think of Mass. But really what Mass is a church service. It's a celebration where we sing hymns, we teach the word, we do the Lord's Supper, we do communion. So it's a celebration of the Christ and a worship. Now, as I've been around Asia for just not about 9 years, almost 10 years, I've said Merry Christmas to a lot of people in Asia. We were caroling. I was saying Merry Christmas to everyone I came across. And it's interesting, as I say that, what does that mean when you say that to a person? It's different, right? Different people. It means something different to many people when you say it. If you're saying it to a Christian, it means this. If you're saying it to a secular person, maybe it means this. Or maybe they've never even heard it and don't even know really what it means. Now, I know here, I've seen a lot of people that I think they like all the aspects of Christmas, from Santa Claus and how he brings gifts and how it's a happy time of year. And they love all the decorations, they love all the lights. But most people don't know why we're truly celebrating, that we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The true reason to celebrate Christmas. Now, We all today in here have an amazing privilege to be able to go out and share that with the community around us, to share and explain the truth of why we celebrate Christmas and what Christmas truly is. And in fact, that's why we should invite them to the Christmas Eve service. Make sure you grab a flyer, okay? It's an amazing opportunity to show them, because during that service, we will go through the whole Christmas story, verse by verse, and with song. So as we take part here at Refuge celebrating Christmas, we also know that as we look out, even maybe where we're from or different areas of the world, we see it celebrated differently. I've seen so many different cultures celebrate it differently. But however they're celebrating the holiday, Christmas, what's most important is why. Right? We want to know that we are celebrating Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And it should be done all in worship of him. Whatever we're doing, whatever our Christmas traditions may be in our culture or our family, it needs to center around the worship of Jesus. Now, as I wrote this and I thought about this, I had to ask myself about my own traditions and all the things that I'm doing this time of year. Is everything that I'm doing in my own family, is it edifying to God? Is it glorifying the name of Jesus? Is it worshiping God and thanking him for Jesus? Because that's what Christmas should be about. So again, my question, what is Christmas to you and how do you each celebrate it? Again, we know December 25th, we observe, we celebrate, and we gather together to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I wonder, like many people do this in church, but what about home? What about in your own family? How do you choose to observe Christmas personally? I know I can only speak as an American and as my family. I know that for us, after the Thanksgiving holiday, it begins. You know, it begins as when I told you the rule, right? After Thanksgiving, we can play Christmas music. And then we're playing Christmas music. We're putting up the Christmas tree. We're decorating it with all the different lights and the ornaments. And I got to put the star on top. That's my job. You know, some Americans I was seeing, they decorate their whole houses and whole streets. We were seeing pictures the other day. I mean, it was like they're hiring professionals to come in and do this. It was amazing. Big nativity scenes in their yards. Pretty amazing to see some of it. You know, at home, where I'm from, our home church, they'd have a special Christmas service on Sunday, like we're doing here today. Then have maybe a candlelight service for Christmas Eve, worshiping Jesus in song, special Christmas songs typically, the reading of Scripture, and then, of course, the sermon that's based on Jesus' birth. It's also very common to have different children's performances this time of year, right? We don't have one this year. But it's very common. They would come and they do maybe a choir. I watched this happen when I was in India. They had a Christmas choir come up to sing for Christmas. Or maybe next year. Anybody want to join a choir next year? Do a Christmas choir here? I don't know. But here, coming up on December 24th, we're going to have a special candlelight service, which again will be worship, praising Jesus with song, scripture, food, fellowship. That's my family tradition. We also then, for us and my family, it's our tradition that on Christmas Eve, and it's interesting, everyone does this differently. On Christmas Eve, the evening, our family will open up one gift. So my kids are always ready to get home from church, so they can open up that one gift on Christmas Eve. Then in the morning, when they wake up, we open all the other gifts. And I'm not sure how much, you know, we're celebrating then, but it's a big mess. There's a lot of gifts. So many cultures celebrate Jesus' birth in many different ways. Maybe some do it on December 24th, some on December 25th, but some have even seen celebrate it for months at a time. I see over in Myanmar, they call it Sweet December. Or you see in the Philippines, they do it for 2 or 3 months beforehand. But today, really, I think, again, what's most important is, what is Christmas for us? And again, as we talk about Christmas and gifts, what is the greatest gift that we can ever receive, and why? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been doing a lot of Christmas shopping lately. And I'm trying to purchase all the different gifts for my family. And for me, when I shop for Christmas gifts, I really don't want to buy them just something to buy them something. Like, just to get them something. I really want to get them something that's meaningful, that's useful. I want to get a gift that just isn't random. Again, I want this gift that I would buy them that reflect how much I care and how much I love them. And it's not necessarily the price, but I want it to be something that they would know that I actually spent some time to do. And it made me think about this as I've been shopping and going out to the stores, is what makes these gifts truly great? I mean, either receiving a gift or to give a gift. What makes the gift great? You can think about that. Is a gift great because maybe who it's from? Or maybe is a gift great because of the cost? I mean, I thought about this, and if you think about just these qualifications, somebody could give me a hugely expensive, like, piece of jewelry. It could even come from someone famous, maybe. Would this be the greatest gift I would receive? I mean, what would I do with that? It'd be expensive. Maybe it's from someone really important. But what would I do with that? A big old diamond, or I mean, what would I do with it? Maybe I could sell it and get a lot of money. But if I did that, then the person would be very upset that gave me that gift. So I can't sell it. So I don't think that this very expensive gift would be very good to me at all, even though it was very expensive. In fact, if I had a very expensive thing, now I'm going to be worried about someone even maybe stealing it and locking it up and worried. So I don't think the value, or necessarily even if it was from someone famous, alone is what makes a gift a great gift. So what else makes a gift great? Maybe it's its usefulness. Like a gift that benefits our lives daily that we're going to use. Maybe a new iPhone. New MacBook, maybe. M4. But these are great gifts, and they're expensive. But what happens in a few years with these gifts? It's no longer a new iPhone, is it? It's a couple years old. Apple, after like 4 years, it won't update the software. So I don't think that is necessarily a great gift. Now think about this. What is the greatest gift that you've ever received or given, and what makes it great? Part of my personal testimony, and I've shared with many of you, is that I've had an opportunity in life to have a lot of amazing worldly things in my life. Many years ago, I had a lot of wealth from a business I had. So I had beautiful, nice cars, a big house, had a little bit of money. I went on big vacations. I was able to buy big gifts. I also had an amazing family, beautiful wife, beautiful children, and couldn't have been prouder of them. These were amazing gifts that I had been given, right? Blessed with. But I tell you, to be very honest, looking back, at that point in my life, none of these things that I had, the big cars, the house, the this, the that, none of it truly gave me true peace and joy within my soul. But I had all them big fancy things. Even with all the money, the status, beautiful family, there's something still missing. Something missing. I was searching for something more. The truth is, which is interesting, is the more that I gained worldly, the more lost I felt. Because my hope in having true joy and true peace faded. as I gained all the worldly possessions, because it never brought that into my life. I quickly knew the truth and found out that I was hopeless. None of these things filled that hole that was in my heart. It was during that time in my life where I did finally surrender to the fact that nothing in this world would bring me peace and joy. Now, I didn't understand exactly what was taking place at that time or the reason that I didn't have peace and joy in my life. But I knew I had a problem, a major problem that was preventing me from having peace and joy. There was something in my life, a barrier. Now I know it was a barrier between me and God, preventing me from having that peace and joy. And it led me to ask even then, finally, what was missing? What didn't I have? What was preventing me from having joy, true joy, in my life? In Romans 3:23 it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So the truth is, this is the beginning in my testimony and biblically, that to know that we are sinners and that we all have missed the mark that God has set before us. And it continues in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So as at that time an unredeemed sinner, I could never truly enjoy or experience peace and joy in this world or eternally. In fact, I experienced quite the opposite as I was living my life in this world. But praise the Lord, today we're here. We're all here celebrating the birth of Jesus. We're thanking God for giving His Son to us, the greatest gift ever given, the one who does give peace and joy here on earth, but also eternally. Now that brings me back again to speaking about gifts. And another question. How do you choose who to give a gift to? And why would someone choose you to give a gift to? Let me read that again. How do you choose who to give a gift to? And why would someone choose to give you a gift? You know, often I think about this, and, you know, we've been taught, like as kids, you know, if you're a good boy or girl all year, you'll get a good present, right? That's how parents bribe their kids, right? But the truth is, we likely believe this because something that we've done would make us deserving of a gift, right? Because something we've done, we think we would be deserving of a gift. Or, on the other part of that, likely that we would give someone a gift because of who they are or something that they have done. So I'd gift you something because of what you've done, if you're good enough. But the Bible says different. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Maybe in this world, maybe in this physical world, we could earn a gift, right? Be a good friend. Maybe you'll get a gift. But this isn't how God works. God loves us. He loves everyone here and offers us the greatest gift outside of anything we could ever do in our own self. Ephesians 2:8-9 confirms this, saying, "God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it." It's amazing when I read this verse. No matter what I have done or not done. No matter what I've done or not done. No matter how hard we try, it means nothing. This gift from God is here available to everyone today to receive their sins forgiven and eternal life through faith in Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 gives us this promise, a gift. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith you are saved. So today we're gathered here, Christmas Sunday, to worship God for the birth of Jesus Christ, to celebrate his death, his resurrection, and knowing that each one of us can receive or have received the greatest gift ever given. That's peace with God, which leads to joy. Knowing that we are redeemed, having our sins forgiven, and having eternal life in heaven. Now, I just want to make sure, if there's anyone here today that has not received that gift, all that's required simply is to repent of your sins, turn to faith in Jesus, believe in him, and call upon him, Christ Jesus, as your Lord. It's that simple. I'll be up front after the service, and I'd love to pray with you if you have questions what that looks like. I'd love to meet and talk to you about that. We have some baptisms coming up, maybe this week, maybe next week. I'm not sure yet. We're still working on one confirmation. But that would be exciting to see how people have accepted Jesus and now are publicly proclaiming their faith in Jesus. And I also want to remind us here as we celebrate on Christmas that all that receive this gift of salvation, all, then become a new creation, a new person in Christ, being born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Amen. So Jesus, we know, we've studied, is the best gift the entire world could ever receive. Jesus is also, though, the best gift that we can give. And I think that's important. So I want to go back to my question earlier, which is on the screen. What qualifies a gift as the greatest? That's what I asked, right? We talk about cost, if it's from someone. Again, is it the cost of the gift? How much it costs? Is that what makes a gift great? Well, I don't know, but what was the cost of each of us having our sins forgiven? John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So if you want to talk about cost, the greatest gift ever given was at the cost of Jesus Christ. What about maybe the size of the gift, right? How big is the gift? Well, how big is the gift of having your sins forgiven and having eternal life in heaven? That's big. Maybe we talked about, is a gift great because who it's from? The gift of Jesus is from God. That's as big as you get. I could go on and explain why Jesus is the greatest gift that we would ever receive and we would ever give. Well, interesting, I think, as we receive the gift of Jesus, this is what I like about the gift of Jesus. It's a gift that keeps giving. Right? Once we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we have then continued blessings. And here are just some of the continued blessings we receive. First thing I noticed is we receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another continuing blessing that we receive is peace. That's ongoing. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart, and the peace I will give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be afraid or troubled. We also receive the promise of eternal life. No matter what's taking place in this world, we know how this is going to work out. Ephesians 1:11 says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. I didn't even come close to listing all the blessings that we can receive from Jesus. And this was not a complete list by any means. But we see that we receive continued blessings through our faith in Jesus. Now we know all these gifts are freely given for anyone that calls on Jesus as Lord and Savior. By accepting this gift. Now, again, Christmas. This is the season we often, and we should, reflect on what is Christmas and what is the gift that we receive through Christ Jesus. So I asked a lot of questions during the message. I have another one. What is your response to receiving the greatest gift ever given? What is your response to receiving the greatest gift ever given? What gifts can you give Jesus? Can you give Jesus gifts? I mean, here's some verses that I think that what we should be given Jesus. I think we need to follow him unconditionally. Mark 8:34 says, "Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me.'" We should be giving him our lives. We should be obeying his commands. Matthew 22:37-39 says, "Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself.'" If we've accepted that free gift of salvation, placed our faith in Jesus, we should be obedient to God's word. Another thing we should really reflect on if we receive this gift is we should be serving his church. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Work hard so you can present yourselves to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." Another thing that we should be doing is worshiping him. Worshiping him in all that we do. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ." So Christmas, we know, is a great time to reflect on all these gifts that we've received through faith in Jesus, and also all the gifts that we can present and give in giving our life to Jesus. Now, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let's worship him. Let's use this time especially to reflect on what he's done for each one of us, the promises that we have, the continual blessings that we have, and let's worship him in all that we do, not though just on Christmas. I think Christmas is a good time to look and reflect, but we need to continually do that throughout the year. Now, if there's some here again that have not accepted Jesus, or maybe there's some here today, especially on Christmas, maybe that haven't been walking away in a way that you would say and know that isn't pleasing to God, I challenge you, take this opportunity, this season, this Christmas, to repent. We'll be up here in the front. If you want prayer, we'll pray with you. Use this opportunity. And maybe again, there's someone here the Holy Spirit's speaking to. We would love to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, to receive that free gift, that free gift of salvation, to turn from the things of the world, to turn to Jesus, to receive the greatest gift ever given. It's already been paid for, this gift. You just need to receive it. So I talked a lot about Christmas traditions and gifts. We started with Jesus and then continual blessings. But as we just begin this next week here, let's make sure all of us, as we're out and about doing all the things that we have planned, if it's with our families, with our schools, with our jobs, with our church, whatever it is we have, there's so much going on, right? Whatever it is, let's keep the focus on Jesus. Let's ensure that it's Jesus that would receive the worship this Christmas season. Every time you receive a gift maybe this year, every time you give a gift, just take a moment just to think about what that's representing and what Jesus has done for you. To know that Jesus is the greatest gift and to thank God. Like you hand that, just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. So let's remember to give Jesus our faith and our obedience this season. Please pray for me as the worship team heads up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day that we can come and gather, Lord, and just observe and question, what is Christmas? What does it mean to us as we look at our different traditions and our different cultures and the way we celebrate and what we celebrate? Lord, and well, I just pray, Lord, especially today, Lord, it's just on my heart, Lord. There's many people that love Christmas. We love this season, but I know there's many people here that really struggle. Because Christmas so often is a time for families to gather. Also, it's so often a time, though, that as families gather and celebrate your birth, but there's times there's people missing in our life, Lord. If maybe they've passed on, or maybe they're just not here with them here overseas. Whatever the case is, Lord, if there's anyone here just struggling in this season, Lord, of depression, struggling, Lord, that just wondering why they're here, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would just come up even after the service, that we could pray for them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that if anyone here doesn't know you, Lord, they would know that this is a free gift that has been given to them. The greatest gift to man. But they just need to receive it. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you continue to show each one of us here today, Lord, how we can be used in this season. There's so many opportunities right now, Lord, in this city to share the real reason for the season. Lord, if it's just a simple invite to a Christmas service or an open invitation, Lord, to talk to them, to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share what Christmas really is about. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just sweep through this city, Lord, and just open the doors, Lord, in people's hearts and minds, Lord, to hear the truth, the gospel of who you are. And Lord, you'd give us boldness, Lord, to go out and start conversations with people, to invite people, to share who you are and what you've done in our lives and how you are the greatest gift ever given. And as we talk about Christmas and joy and peace, Lord, they would understand what that truly means. That it's not of these worldly things, but it's of eternity. And it's about having peace with you, the Father, Father God. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would go out this Christmas season, Lord, and we would just share. Share with anyone that we could come across. Especially pray for all these outreaches so many of us are doing. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that lives would be changed for eternity this Christmas season. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for what you did for each one of us. As we celebrate your birth, knowing you are sent by the Father, sent for a purpose. Sent for a purpose to die on the cross to pay the price of my sin. Lord, I just thank you for that. I praise you for that. I worship you for that. And I reflect and remember this daily, Lord. And I just offer myself, Lord, before you each day, every day, as a living sacrifice for what you've done for me. So Lord, we praise you. We love you. And Lord, I'm amazed time and time again how you save a man like me. So Lord, we just take this time, Lord, just to observe your birth, to thank you for what you've done, and thank you for the truth of your word that we have. Lord, please, just show us how to reach the lost during this season. And again, Lord, heavy on my heart, is anyone here struggling during this season, grieving the loss of a loved one during this season, wondering why they're in this particular place at this time during this season, missing their loved ones back home. Lord, let us just pray with them, Lord, and lift them up as a church body, Lord. Let us just come alongside them and know that they're not alone. They have you, Christ Jesus, but they also have a church to come alongside them, Lord. Lord, let us open our homes this season, Lord. Invite people in. If it's the lost neighbor, to invite them in and share with them at our dinner tables. Or, Lord, if it's a friend that's here that has no one to spend Christmas with, Lord, that they would reach out and say, I don't have anywhere to go on Christmas. Let us just, Lord, let us be that light and that love this Christmas season, Lord. Let our own hearts not be hardened in this season. And let us, Lord, just truly let the world know the reason for this season is you, Jesus Christ. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much, and thank you for all of this. Thank you for your birth. In Jesus' name, amen.